Welcome to Bible Insights with Wayne Conrad. God's Word is a lamp to our feet and a light on our path. Today's topic is Peter denies knowing Jesus. Simon Peter is really a towering figure in the gospel accounts and in the New Testament itself. But there's one thing we should remember about Simon Peter. If you look at the whole of his life, we know that Simon Peter loved Jesus of Nazareth. He declared his love for him on more than one occasion. And Simon Peter, on more than one occasion, confessed Christ. And yet, in the midst of a period of time, he denies knowing Jesus. It's a time when Jesus, his Lord and Master, would have rejoiced to have had one of his followers to say, "Yes, I know the man. Yes, he spoke the truth." But Peter does not do that, even though he has an opportunity. Instead of admitting that he's a follower of Jesus, he denies even knowing him. And how important this episode is marked by the fact that all four gospel narratives, that's Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, all record Peter's denials of Jesus. I've been looking at mostly John's gospel in some of my podcasts, and I could begin with the account by John, but John is the most sympathetic of the ones who record Peter's denials. Now, we have to remember that when we look at the accounts of Jesus' arrest and his arraignment, his so-called trial, etc., that only two disciples were close enough to hear anything of the proceedings, and that was John, the beloved apostle, and Peter. John followed Jesus as he was arrested, and he followed him evidently pretty close. Peter followed, but at a distance. He followed afar off. Now, the other disciples fled. They did not follow even that close. They fled. But Peter didn't flee. He hung back, as we say. He wanted to see what was happening to his master, but he didn't want to get too close. John, however, who has some connections in the high priesthood family or the temple, he gains access to where Jesus is being put through the mill. And Peter follows at a distance there. He doesn't follow John all the way. He stops at the area where the guards were. He comes into the courtyard, but it doesn't go into the precincts of the high priest area where the, quote, trial is going on. Another thing, when we read the accounts, all four accounts, John is the only one that tells us that the first phase was being brought to Annas, the father-in-law of Caiaphas, the high priest. And so the first denials occur in that venue. And then he's led over to the area where Caiaphas is, and where the formal trial will take place at the beginning of daybreak, actually beginning at the night, but repeated at daybreak. So Jesus can actually see Peter, and Peter can actually hear what's being said. He can hear what Jesus is saying, and he can hear what questions are being asked of Jesus. So it's in this context that we have to read and understand the denial of Peter to know Jesus. An account by John. It says, Simon Peter followed Jesus, and so did another disciple. That other disciple is John, who's writing this. Since that disciple was known to the high priest, he entered with Jesus into the courtyard of the high priest. But Peter stood outside at the door. So the other disciple, who was known to the high priest, went out and spoke to the servant girl who kept watch at the door and brought Peter in. The servant girl at the door said to Peter, "You also are not one of this man's disciples, are you?" He said, "I am not." Now the servants and officers had made a charcoal fire because it was cold, and they were standing and warming themselves. And Peter also was with them, standing and warming himself. The high priest then questioned Jesus about his disciples and his teaching. And Jesus answered him, "I've spoken openly to the world. I've always taught in synagogues and in the temple where all Jews come together. I've said nothing in secret. Why do you ask me? Ask those who heard me what I said to them. They know what I said." Well, Peter is there. And John is around. I'm saying John can be seen. And Peter is in the courtyard. Jesus can see him. At this point, there's an opportunity for Peter to have spoken up, given an opportunity, but he did not. Instead, he said he did not know him. And so when Jesus had said these things, one of the officers standing by struck Jesus with his hand and said, "Is that how you answer the high priest?" And Jesus answered him, "If what I said is wrong, bear witness about the wrong. But if what I said is right, why do you strike me?" Annas then sent him bound to Caiaphas, the high priest. Now, Simon Peter was standing and warming himself. So they said to him, "You also are not one of his disciples, are you?" That's sort of an awkward way of translating that. But he denied it and he said, "I am not." And one of the servants of the high priest, a relative of the man whose ear Peter had cut off, asked, "Did I not see you in the garden with him?" Peter again denied it, and at once a rooster crowed. Now that's John's account, and he's sympathetic to Peter. He doesn't actually record some of the words that Peter himself recalls that's recorded in Mark's gospel, because Mark's gospel, you see, is based on the sermons of Peter, on the memoirs of Peter. He was a close associate of Peter. He was the young man of the garden that fled when the guards came up and leaving his garment behind. They probably got caught on a bush, so he fled naked from the garden. But Luke, Mark, and Matthew also record the denials of Peter. And I want us to look at those because this will help us understand the nature of Peter's denials. We have to also understand that Peter still loved Jesus of Nazareth. And what he says is really not about Jesus, is about him. And what he says, his denials, is an effort to protect himself because he's afraid. Protect himself because he doesn't want to be accused of the same things that Jesus is being accused of. Fear many times makes us or causes us or inclines us to say or do things that under other circumstances we would not do. I'm not excusing Peter's denial. I'm just trying to understand his denial, maybe from his point of view. But Luke is rather brief. He says, "A servant girl, seeing him as he sat at the light," that is by the charcoal fall, "looked closely at him and said, 'This man was also with him.' But he denied it, saying, 'Woman, I do not know him.' A little later, someone else saw him and said, 'You're also one of them.' And Peter said, 'I am not, man, I am not.' And after an interval of about an hour," notice this detail, "still another insisted, saying, 'Certainly this man was also with him, for he too is a Galilean.' But Peter said, 'Man, I do not know what you are talking about.'" Now, Mark is the most devastating in what Peter said, because we can understand then that this is Peter's own memoirs. This is what Mark heard, Peter's own testimony. "As Peter was below in the courtyard, one of the servant girls of the high priest came, and seeing Peter warming himself, she looked at him and said, 'You also were with the Nazarene Jesus.' But he denied it, saying, 'I neither know nor understand what you mean.' He went out to the gateway, and the rooster crowed. And the servant girl saw him," or another servant girl, "and began again to say to the bystanders, 'This man is one of them.' But again he denied it. And after a while, bystanders came again to say to Peter, 'Certainly you are one of them, for you are a Galilean.' But he began to invoke a curse on himself and to swear, I do not know this man of whom you spoke. Immediately, the rooster crowed a second time. In Matthew's account, Matthew's a little devastating in a way too, but not as much as Mark. Now, Peter was sitting outside in the courtyard. A servant girl came up to him and said, you also were with Jesus the Galilean. And he denied it before them all, saying, I do not know what you mean. See, John has compressed that, I'm not. But he said more than I might. And he went out to the entrance, and another servant girl saw him, and she said to the bystanders, this man was with Jesus of Nazareth. Again, he denied it with an oath. I do not know the man. And after a while, the bystanders came up, and they said to Peter, certainly you too are one of them, for your accent betrays you. Then he began to invoke a curse on himself and to swear, I do not know the man. Immediately, the rooster crowed. And Peter remembered the saying of Jesus, before the rooster crows, you will deny me three times. And he went out and wept bitterly. Luke has this record, the most devastating of all at that moment. Peter said, I do not know what you're talking about. And with an oath, the others have told us. And the rooster crowed the second time. And the Lord turned and looked at Peter. And Peter remembered the saying of the Lord, how he had said to him, before the rooster crows today, you will deny me three times. And he went out, and he wept bitterly. Now, it's so instructive that Jesus hears the denials of Peter. And he looks at Peter when he makes the third denial, and the rooster crows the second time. What's going on? Peter loves Jesus Christ, and yet, in this moment, when Jesus would have longed to have heard one of his followers say, yes, I know the man, Peter denied even knowing him. He's not denying that he had faith in Jesus, because that's not what's being asked. And he's not revealing any of that. What he's denying is he doesn't know this man. He doesn't know this person. Because Peter is trying to protect Peter. He doesn't want others to know he was a follower of Jesus for fear that he too might be arrested. He too might be persecuted. So in the midst, when Jesus could have benefited from emotional support from a friend and a follower, Peter totally failed him. He did not speak up for him or even admit that he knew him. Instead, he denied that he even knew the man. Now, where does this come from? You know, Peter was basically the designated leader of the apostolic band. He's the one who always made the great confessions about Christ on behalf of all of them. Peter is the one, when Jesus began to say that the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders and the chief priests and the scribes and be killed and after 3 days rise again, Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. He's rebuking the Lord. But turning and seeing his disciples, Jesus rebuked Peter and said, get behind me, Satan, our adversary, for you're not setting your mind on the things of God, but on the things of man. And Peter in the upper room, just a few hours earlier, when Jesus foretold that they all would fall away because of him, Peter braggadociously said, I will never fall away. Though they all fall away because of you, I will never fall away. Do you hear the pride that comes out? The self-confidence and self-sufficiency. Others may, but I will not. But Peter heard Jesus say to him, truly I tell you, this very night before the rooster crows, you will deny me three times. And Peter insisted, even if I must die with you, I will not deny you. And all the disciples then joined in and said the same thing. But now, follow me. Jesus is in the garden where he has prayed. He wrestled in prayer before the Father, before this great burden has fallen upon him. And when the soldiers came to take possession of Jesus, Simon Peter, having a sword, it's a hand sword, drew it and struck the high priest's servant and cut off his right ear. He was trying to defend his Lord. And the servant's name, John tells us, was Malchus. So he knew him. And so Jesus said to Peter, "Put your sword into its sheath. Shall I not drink the cup that the Father has given me?" In other words, Jesus rebukes Peter. Why the rebuke of Jesus to Peter on these two different occasions? It's because Peter was speaking words that would try to keep Jesus from fulfilling the purpose that the Father had for him to be the sufficient, all-sufficient sacrifice for the sins of his people. He was not thinking God's thoughts after him, but he was thinking only man's thoughts. And so Simon Peter is rebuked by Jesus because this is not the way the kingdom of God comes. In addition, you know, Peter himself would be overwhelmed by all those soldiers. So there's many reasons why Jesus reminds him, "I shall drink the cup the Father's given me." So don't try to interfere with that. "Shall I not drink the cup the Father's given me?" So the band of soldiers and their captain and the officers of the Jews arrested Jesus and bound him. So now Peter is following at a distance. He still wants to know what's going to happen to Jesus, but he also wants to protect himself. The exact opposite of what he swore he would do is what he's doing. He denies ever knowing Jesus. He denies knowing the man that he loves, and the man who loved him and was laying down his life for him. This is a devastating activity on the part of Peter. And no wonder he felt rightly that he had lost his position of leadership among the apostolic brands. And after Jesus was resurrected from the dead, even though Jesus met with him privately on that day, we're not told the details, but we're told that it happened. We know that at that point, Peter, who had already started the process of repenting, the moment the rooster crowed and Jesus looked at him, Peter became convicted of his guilt. He went out and he wept bitterly. He broke down. He wept. He cried bitterly because he had betrayed the Lord in the sense that he denied him, denied ever knowing him. It broke his heart and also, in many ways, disqualified him for the position that Jesus had put him in. It's only under this background, you see, of Peter's denials, that we can ever truly understand and rejoice when Peter is restored by the grace, mercy, and love of Jesus. On another day, a few weeks later, during the post-resurrection ministry of Christ, the denial of Peter, we should take lessons from it. You know, sometimes we say things we should not say out of pride and self-sufficiency. That always leads to a fall. There are times when out of anger and frustration, we say things contrary to what we really believe or feel. It's an emotional reaction rather than thinking and speaking the truth. We speak basically a lie. We have to be careful. As believers, you know, we must confess Christ. It is never right for a Christian to say, "I do not know Jesus. I am not a believer." When we truly believe, when we are a true follower of the Lord. If we love him, we must follow him. We must confess him, and we must hold tight to him, even if it cost us our lives. Now, Peter will later learn this, for we know the end of Peter, that he was crucified like his master, by the power of Rome. He never denied Jesus again, although he did backslide again in the Acts. There's a distinction between what Peter did and what Judas did. Judas betrayed Christ, and his is an apostasy, because he did not truly believe in Christ, and when Christ himself was not pursuing the way that he thought he should, then he sold him out. Maybe in an effort to try to force his hand, I don't know. But he betrayed Jesus into the hands of his enemies so that he would be arrested. He didn't want him to be crucified. And with this, that comes to us when he returns the money to the money changers of the temple and throws it on the floor when they refuse to accept it. He regretted what he did, but he was never repentant. Peter, on the other hand, even at the moment he does it, when Jesus looks at him and the rooster crows and he remembers, the tears of repentance began to flow. And he goes out in a state of great sorrow that leads to a greater faith in the end. This has been Wayne Conrad with Bible Insights.